the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Giant, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
God, thank you for loving me.
Jesus. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
The prisoner may now take the stand and defend himself against the charges leveled against him.
His Excellency, the Governor, high priests and rulers of Israel, and friends, it is with gladness that I have such a learned and understanding man as His Excellency for my judge. To shorten and simplify my defense, I shall take the prosecution's accusations point by point as he made them. First, the laws of Moses as the foundation of the nation of Israel. His Highness is evidently confused. There are admittedly two sets of Mosaic laws, one governing Israel as a nation, the other governing Israel's worship of God.
I object, Your Excellency. He's trying to confuse the issue.
Continue, Paul.
There cannot be found a man anywhere who will testify that I have knowingly disobeyed any of Israel's civil laws, nor have I taught anyone to. Many of Israel's religious laws and ceremonies and sacrifices show man's belief in a coming Messiah. When that Messiah comes, then all the laws and ceremonies relative thereto are void, useless, done away with. The Messiah has come. Therefore, I do no longer engage in these activities that point forward to his coming.
But the Messiah has not come. The laws and sacrifices pointing to his coming are therefore still in force and valid.
We both have a right to our opinions. However, neither of us has the right to force our opinion on the other. Force is evil. God is good.
An excellent point. Well stated.
The second accusation made against me. Inciting riots. Oh, with the help of my Lord Jesus Christ, I try always to remain calm. True, there have been riots, mobs, disturbances over me, but never by me. A good case in point is when I was arrested 2 years ago in Jerusalem. I was in the temple talking to a priest relative to the completion of purification rites when a hue and cry was made by an Israelite from Asia. A mob formed, and the soldiers had to rescue me by force.
You had taken in the temple with you a Gentile, thereby polluting and blaspheming the temple.
I was there alone talking to a priest. Had a Gentile been with me, you know, I know, and His Excellency knows that the mob would have seized him even before they did me. No Gentile was taken by the mob, so there must not have been one there. I so testify to you now. This also answers the accuser's third point, wherein he says, I take Gentiles and unclean people into the temple. I do not.
I appeal to His Excellency. This man tells one lie right after another.
May I say that the prosecution makes charges, verbally, but offers no proof whatsoever of the accusations. Prisoner, proceed.
As to disregarding the ordinances and sacrifices ordained by God, I am as careful to obey God in all things as any man in Israel, except in those things that point forward to a Messiah that has already come.
Sergeant, quiet them or clear the judgment hall.
Yes, sir.
Excellency will ask you to leave.
All right, prisoner.
One more point. The fifth. That I have no regard either for Roman or Israelite law and order. In refuting this false accusation, may I point to my record as a prisoner here for over 2 years? I have been given considerable freedom, much more than the ordinary prisoner. Many times I could have escaped, but I did not. Why? Because I believe with all my heart in law and order. Order is heaven's first law, and obedience to the law brings freedom. This is true with all laws, religious and civil. Thank you, Your Excellency.
This whole thing is a matter of Israelite doctrines, not of the law. Even if the charges against Paul could be proved, still, he is not guilty of anything worthy of death or even of imprisonment.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yet, think of the rage of the Israelite nation as a whole if Paul is not condemned or turned over to them for trial under their laws. Perhaps it would be well if I gave the Israelites this one request and pleasure.
It might save a lot of trouble, sir.
Sergeant, I want quiet in this judgment.
Order! Order in the court!
Are you willing to go to Jerusalem, Paul, under my protection to be tried by the Sanhedrin?
I am being tried in the emperor's own judgment court, where I should be tried. I have done no wrong to the Israelites, as you yourself well know. If I have broken the law or done anything for which I deserve the death penalty, I do not ask to escape it. But if there is no truth in the charges they bring against me, no one can hand me over to them. Therefore, Your Excellency, I exercise my right as a Roman citizen. I appeal to the Emperor.
I shall have to confer with my advisors. You have appealed to the Emperor. So to the Emperor you will go.
But why, Brother Paul, did you appeal to the Emperor? It surprised me. I guess it did everybody.
Governor Festus knows I'm not guilty, so why did he not find me not guilty and release me? Because he wants to please the Israelites. They plan to kill me on the way to Jerusalem.
But the governor said you'd be under his protection.
Oh, he'd send me under a guard of a few soldiers, yes. But he does not realize how much the Israelite leaders hate me and will do anything to kill me. So, like Elijah of old, who sought protection in the home of the Gentile widow in Sarepta, I sought protection of the Gentile emperor.
How soon will you go to Rome?
Well, I wasn't told. It could be tomorrow. Or it could be years.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Mommy told me something a little child should know. It's all about the devil and the way he hates us so. She said he causes trouble when you let him in the room. He will never, ever leave you if your heart is filled with gloom. So let the sun shine. When you are unhappy, oh, Satan wears a grin. But oh, he starts to running when the light comes pouring in. I know he'll be unhappy, 'cause I'll never wear a frown. Maybe if we keep on smiling, he'll get tired of hanging round.
So let the sun shine in, face it with a grin.
Sunshine in. Where are you going?
Oh, hi, Rico. I'm heading for the grocery store. Mom forgot to buy carrots for our carrot stew tonight. We can't have carrot stew without carrots. That'd be just hot water. She said that we were going to drive back to the store, but I told her I'd take care of it.
On your bicycle? That's kind of a long way.
It's good exercise, and besides, there's enough poison in the air already.
Poison? What do you mean?
See all those cars and trucks? Well, each one has an engine, and each engine is burning gasoline, and the exhaust puts pollution in the air. Then we breathe it. Too much pollution can poison us. So I figure if I ride my bike to the store, a vehicle, which, by the way, creates absolutely no pollution, I'm helping the air stay cleaner.
I'm impressed.
Not only that, I told my mom and dad that we needed to figure out how to drive our car less. You know, like going to town and doing a bunch of things. Not just one. I figure that if everyone did that, we'd have a lot less dirty air and a lot more clean air to breathe. By the way, where are you heading?
I'm going to the park. Mom gave me money for a taxi.
You mean one of those stinking, gas-burning, air-polluting taxis?
Okay, I see what you mean. Mind if I ride with you?
No problem. I can even take you to my house for supper. Do you like carrot stew?
Love it.
And then we can use your taxi money to buy mangoes.
I'd better call my mom and ask if it would be all right.
Tell her you're riding in the city's only non-polluting taxi and that the driver is a really nice guy.
Just drive.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
commander, the Lord Jesus Christ, has given us our orders of the day. Listen carefully to his words. You are my friends if you do what I command you. You are my friends if you do what I command. You are my friends if you do what I command you. You are my friends if you do what I command.
This is my command.
Ms. Kathy, I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 7, Morse Code Rescue. Chris and Sammy watched the flashing light carefully. Da! Was that a letter? Chris asked. What letter was it? I think it was a W, Sammy said. The light kept flashing. Da! I know that one, Chris said. That's an I. He kept watching the light. Da, dit, 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 da, dit, dit. What was that? Sammy asked. No letter code is that long. Wait a minute, that was two letters, two W's. The light kept flashing. Dit, dit, da, dit. It's Willie, Chris and Sammy shouted together. Far down below inside the car, Willie and Grandpa sat waiting silently. Willie hardly dared to breathe. They listened, not wanting to miss a single horn honk. What's happening up there? Willie wondered. Who is it? Why don't they answer me? When the sounds came, Willie was ready. He wrote down a letter for each sound he heard. His grin spread from one ear to the other, but the lump in his throat grew so big he couldn't speak for a moment. Well, Willie, Grandpa said anxiously, who is it? What did they say? I didn't get all of it. It's Chris, he replied in a small voice. It's Chris, he repeated a little louder. Oh, Grandpa, it's Chris! He threw his arms around as much of Grandpa as he could reach and hugged him. Better answer him, Grandpa suggested. Willie wrote down the words he wanted to send, then carefully he flashed each letter, trying to keep the light steady. It was hard not to bounce up and down and wave his arms. I told him to take us home, Willie said when he finished. How long do you think it'll take them to get us out of here? Chris and his dad won't be able to come get us, Grandpa replied. It will probably be the sheriff or the forestry service. Remember, we didn't see any roads down here. We made our own road down the mountain. It would be dangerous for whoever's up there with Chris to come down the way we... Willie interrupted. Listen, Grandpa. Hear that? He began to copy what he heard. L-P-C-O-M-I-N-G-S-O-O-N. Willie looked at his tablet with a frown as he tried to figure out the message. It must say, help coming soon. Yes, that's what it means. Great. Well, we'll be out of here soon. I hope so, boy. Grandpa said slowly. I hope so. Is your arm hurting a lot? Willie asked. Mm-hmm. Then after a moment, Grandpa added, Now comes the hard part, waiting for the rescue. But Chris said that help is coming soon, Willie almost wailed. Be patient, Grandpa said, for right now it's enough to know that Jesus sent someone to see our signals. Help will come. After what seemed like hours, Willie heard a low roar in the distance. The sound grew louder and louder. What is it, Grandpa? Willie shouted above the noise. Sounds like a helicopter, Grandpa yelled back. A bright light flashed down from the darkness above, lighting up the trees. It moved in slow circles toward the car. Then suddenly the light flooded through the broken windows of the car. A deep voice called out through a loudspeaker somewhere above the light. Willie Taylor, wave your hand if you are both okay. Wave your hand if you are both okay. Willie stuck his arm out the window and waved frantically. The voice boomed again. Can you make it until morning? Wave your hand for yes. Willie was slower at putting out his hand this time, and he waved very slowly. Good. We will be back for you, the voice boomed. We will be back. With that, the light vanished, and the helicopter roared away.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 8, The Rock Slide Rescue, written by Sandy Zaug, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.